Hi, it's Yvonne McCoy.
Love Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Yvonne McCoy. Welcome to I'm Ready for Me. You know, we're at the end of April. We're one third of the way through 2015. I'm ecstatic that you're taking this time for yourself because time just keeps moving along really fast, doesn't it? And here's the thing. You know, it is never too late to pick up your game and to do what you feel passionate about. And, you know, what I've learned is that, you know, the more passion I have for something, the more I want to put into it, which means that I need to have a healthier body and I need to have a healthier mind. So just recently I've really been putting a lot of energy into my business and thought, my God, this takes a lot of energy, even when I'm having a good time. So we're going to talk about how can you leap into excellence, and are you committed to it, okay? How many times have we said changing your thinking will change your life? And I guess, you know, the first time I heard that was like it had a major impact because for the simple reason that I think of changes at that time as something that I had to do, you know, something that was really that I could touch. And the idea that I could make a change simply by changing my thinking and get good results was really amazing to me. And since then, there have been a lot of aha ideas for me. And one of the first ones was Stephen Covey and the 7 Habits of Effective People. Probably another one was William Bridges with his explanation of change as a process in his book Managing Transition. Last summer, it was The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And probably more recently was in January with the 100-Day Challenge with Gary Ryan Blair. And I'm going to talk about each of these, but you need to know that each one alone is very powerful, but together they can produce some massive results. And that can be true of any of the ideas that you have as well, things that have made major changes in your life. So I want to show how I blended and transformed these ideas with my own ideas to help me leap into excellence. You have your own powerful belief system, so if you can just add one or two of these ideas, it will really help you up your game. And before I forget, which I do a lot, be sure to click on the like button in the upper left-hand corner. Also get, you know, go to my website, and you can get my free I'm Ecstatic Life Planning Model. Okay. So like I said, how many times do we think, if I change my thinking, I'm going to change my life? You know, taking a look at your actions and your beliefs. And we're going to go, you know, into depth about some of these things and how they connected, each one connected specifically for me. So, for instance, although all the 7 habits are really interesting in Steve Covey's book, the one I guess that I thought about the most was think with the end in mind, because I tended to just make the next decision without saying, well, wait a minute, where do I really need to be? And so when I put that together with an idea that a concept that I found from sailing, which was called Dead Reckoning, the two of them became even more powerful. The same thing with The Big Leap with Gay Hendricks. The idea that you have 4 zones of activity, and so where are you spending your time? And it was funny because he made me really raise the bar even more because he said that the third level is excellence. And the problem with excellence is that you can be complacent when you're in excellence and not jump out of that to your zone of genius. So that's what we want to talk about today. What can you do to really up your game, not just in, you know, your life, okay, or your business, but in your whole life, okay? So here we go. I hope you're ready. This is what we're going to learn today. We're going to talk about Stephen Covey's Begin with the End in Mind and Dead Reckoning. And we're also going to throw in a little bit from Gary Ryan Blair when he says, start fast, finish strong, take massive action. We're going to talk about the zones of activity from The Big Leap and what William Bridges talked about is the change process. And then we're going to talk about the 3 elements of time because we always talk about time management. But really, there are some other things that need to be managed so that you get the most out of your time. And so the assignment really is to decide whether or not you are committed to your business and a better life, if you're committed to excellence, or if you're just playing with the idea, right? And then, of course, we're going to have an action plan. Okay, so let's face it. Any kind of change can be uncomfortable. because it takes you out of your comfort zone. And change in your belief can be even more monumental and can be quite an upheaval. But it's necessary if you want to have take a massive action and leap into excellence. And so you add to that the idea of do it now, okay? And you really find yourself faced with a sense of urgency and, you know, what you should be doing instead of what you're doing to get there. So if we define excellence as the process of continually growing and improving yourself in every area of your life, it requires that you choose the best course of action that you can do to make it happen, and to be aware of the challenges that interfere with you making that best action. And so in order to make, you know, if you've been trying to reach the same goal over and over again, what do you need to have a breakthrough? So if you said to yourself, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Now, I've used that line a lot in terms of weight loss. If I told you that you had to do something and you knew that you could take off all the weight that you wanted, you know, sure, you want it to be gone tomorrow, but would you be happy if it was gone in 2 years, if it took you a little bit longer? You know, what would you do? What would you change? Okay, what would you like to be able to do to rapidly increase your performance? And so that's been kind of a shift for me, because I've always felt like slow and steady wins the race kind of thing. So that was one of the things with Gary Bright, with the 100-Day Challenge, that really forced me to take a monumental look at my belief system, okay? Because I was like, well, wait, I've been telling people for years that if you make small changes over time, you'll have huge results. So finally, I was able to take a step back and say, okay, this is the way, this is a continuum, this is the dimmer switch idea. If you're doing nothing, okay, if you're stuck in inertia and you're not doing anything, then taking a small action is in fact a huge improvement, okay, so that you can get the confidence, you can take small actions over time and get some huge results. But once you've got the momentum going, and you start to see success, at some point, I think, you get to the point where you're like, you know, I'm ready to get to the goal. I want more. I want to do more. And so the idea is, you know, so that you can have a huge, you know, change on a large scale, you know, breakthrough and allow you to leverage the knowledge and experience of other people, that you can leapfrog, you know, and not just take one step at a time, that you can you know, learn from other people so that you don't have to make the same mistakes that they do. So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. How do you, where are you in your belief? What can you add to it that's going to, you know, propel you to be able to take massive action? Okay, so to be successful, we all know that you need to define success and, you know, what you're willing to do to have it. And like I said, Stephen Covey started with the end in mind, and the other idea was dead reckoning that I put from my own, you know, bank of ideas. And dead reckoning is a sailing term, and it sounds terrible, but the concept works. You can't sail in a straight line because of currents and the wind, and that's a lot like life. And I think that's the thing that gets us off track. It's like we know where we want to go. The first time we have to make an adjustment and we get taken off course, we give up. All right, but if you've got that place that you want to be and you can see it and you know where it is, then you say, okay, I have two decisions to make. Which one is going to get me closer to where I want to go? All right, and I think that that's really major. I mean, the first time that I really started thinking about this before I knew about dead reckoning was I was at a graduation ceremony and I was listening to a guy present, and he said he was offered a job at his company, which would have given him a lot more money, all right? But it was not in the area that he wanted to go in. They wanted to put him someplace kind of in marketing, and he really wanted to go more in the financial area. And so in order for him to progress to where he wanted to go in the end, okay, he wanted to be in a part of the company that was making money, not in the part of the company that was spending money. And I don't know why, but that just really blew me away, because every job I had had up until that point was purely based on making more money. It didn't have an end game in mind. It just was, I need more money. Okay. So that was the first time I saw somebody say, let me see. I mean, they didn't say it exactly this way, but the idea was they knew where they wanted to go. They knew what success looked like. So they were willing to forego that early extra money to be able to have the long-term success that they wanted. You know, the other thing that means is that you have to be willing, you know, to change your beliefs. And like I shared with you already, you know, when I found Gary Ryan Blair's idea of moving fast and taking massive action, this really seemed at odds with my own belief, you know, that I had been saying. But I finally understood, you know, like I said, if you're not doing anything, little changes may be all that you're capable, okay, at that time. So moving along, you know, to the next area, I want to talk about zones of activity, because people who are successful spend a lot of time in their zone of genius, okay? And so the other thing is that the difference between really people who are working in their zone of genius and people who are just kind of going along is that they don't wait for something to happen, okay? The difference about being proactive and looking for opportunities and kind of seeing where things are versus waiting till something goes wrong, right? And so, you know, are you the kind of person who waits till their car breaks down before they take it to a mechanic, or do you take it in for annual, you know, for maintenance? Are you the kind of person that you wait until you're really sick before you go to the doctor, or, you know, do you go in for annual physicals, okay? So being able to anticipate, manage change will help you to go through the process better. I mean, there are two kinds of change, all right? One change is, you know, sudden, and that gets your attention, and that, you know, it's a problem. It's something that has to be taken care of immediately. And then there's the gradual or the slow, which usually we ignore until it's too late. And so one of the characteristics of a person who is going into excellence and genius is that they're adaptable. They listen out or they see early warning signals. And when change comes along, okay, they can capitalize on it. They can see opportunities where some of us, and I put myself, you know, initially in this category, when something changes, you know, it's not like a positive thing in my, you know, in my world. And I have learned that change usually brings with it opportunities if you're open to them and you can be proactive and take a look at it. So let's talk about change, whether we're changing from the zones or just the whole idea of changing, okay? So change is very much misunderstood, and William Bridges laid this out so well, I thought, that it really changed the way I thought about change, you know, because I looked at change as kind of an inconvenience. And typically we think of change as starting at the beginning. We say, we're going to start doing this, right? But in fact, change, a successful change starts with ending or making room for something. And then you have to go through the neutral zone, which I think is so misnamed, because it's, to me it's anything but neutral, and then you get to the beginnings. It's kind of like if you have your car and you want to go forward, but at, you know, you start out going in reverse. You can't just go from reverse to forward. You have to kind of shift your way through it, right? A great example of this has to do with exercise. We all make these resolutions or whatever that we're going to exercise. And so the first day, you know, we get up and we exercise and we're really pooped, you know, or we might be running late. And then the second day we really hurt, so we go at it a little bit slower and we don't do as much as we thought we were going to do before, but we do something. And then the third day we're like, ugh, okay. And that's because we didn't make room for the change. When I first started exercising and walking, I found that I was constantly late for my appointments, you know, for my clients. And so, you know, one of the things that I had to do was I had to go to bed earlier, I had to get up earlier, and I had to push my first client back till 10 o'clock so that I could come in and huff and puff and stuff and get myself together and be able to make sense, all right? So you had to end something. You had to stop watching TV. You had to stop sleeping in. And for me, I had to actually stop being unorganized. I mean, I had to put all my things in a pile, you know, my shoes, my socks, my whatever walking gear I was going to put on, so that I didn't have to think about it, that I had to basically almost trip over it in order to get up in the morning to remind myself I was going to do it, okay? The neutral zone is where what I call the push-pull, okay? You're being pulled back to the old ways, and you want to push through to the new ways, and it's uncomfortable. There's no doubt about it. When I am, you know, I say discombobulated, I say to myself, I must be making a huge change because I am so uncomfortable. I must be doing something to make a change, right? So, you know, when you're making change, you're probably either raising your standards so that you're not, you know, not tolerating things that you were tolerating before. You're changing some of your limiting beliefs, and you're starting to look at what's possible. And you're changing your strategy so that you can make it happen. So I'm going to give you an acronym that I stole from Gary Ryan Blair about change. So C stands for consequences, and that is so true. I mean, one of my favorite sayings is that with change comes unexpected consequences. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I mean, you know, the person that you are glad that finally retired in your office because they couldn't handle the computer, now you discover she's the only one who knows when everybody's birthday is, and she's the one that's responsible for the cards. She has all the personal connections with the vendors. They do special things for her. And there are a whole list of other things. You know, the good consequences are that you now have somebody who can do a lot more than the other person can. So with change comes consequences. So that's the C. H is for habits. New behaviors require more habits. And also because of the consequences, you need more of a feedback habit. How do I check that things are going right now that I'm making this change? Am I getting where I want to go? Do I need to see what's happening? Okay. Are other people changing along with me, or am I in this by myself? Okay. So A is for attitude. And this I thought was very interesting because he said if you go fearfully into a change, if you go at it from a negative attitude, chances are your outcomes are going to be negative. If you go with a positive attitude and you decide you're going to have a good time and you're going to enjoy it and you're going to laugh at yourself along the way, chances are you will have positive outcomes. N stands for needs. What are your priorities? What's inconvenient? What do you need to eventually get good results? What resources do you need? What are your needs in terms of this change? G is for goal setting, okay? So the whole idea of goal setting is that you can have steps to get where you need to go so that you can see the change as you're going along, so that you can mark off and say, yes, you know, I reached this goal. You can see it and you can be objective about it. And E is empowerment. You know, the fact that you're never going to have total control over the process because life is not that easy. But you will have more control over the process and you will be the one that will be making the adjustments as you go along. You will be the one that is making the choices that get you to your dead reckoning. Okay, so we talked about the different zones, all right? So I want to talk about that a little bit so that you know what I'm talking about, and maybe I should have done this first. Because basically, you know, when you are going for excellence, you're changing the zone of where you're spending your time and your effort. So the first zone, which I hope none of you are in very often, is the zone of incompetence. And these are activities that you're not good at. I mean, you just are not good at them. All right, and so you should outsource them or get somebody else to help. And the example that they used in the book was a high-paid executive that spent 2 days trying to get his printer hooked up to his computer and then ended up spending like $100 to have a college kid do it. And, you know, he's making hundreds of thousands of dollars, so his 2 days of his time was worth a lot of money. So he should not be doing that. The zone of competence. These are activities that you're good at. I mean, there's things that you can do easily. But in terms of business, they may not be the thing that's going to actually grow your business. They're not going to be the things that are rewarding to you in life. I mean, there are lots of things I can do. I can do filing, but it would bore me to death, right? It's something I can do, but it's not something I want to do, okay? And so you shouldn't be spending a lot of time in your zone of competence either. So hopefully, most of you are trying to get to your zone of excellence. And those are activities that you do extremely well. And usually if you've been able to progress in your career and stuff, you are doing that. The drawback is, because you can do those activities well, you may not push yourself to get to the zone of genius. You may get compliant. You know, because you can do it, you do it. All right? And I've told you the story about the, you know, how many people can we sit in this room kind of thing. Well, just because I could do that quite easily doesn't mean that I want to be an event planner. That's not my zone of genius. Okay? So when you say to yourself, how do you discover your true genius? Okay? And so you ask yourself, what are the activities that I love to do most? I love it so much that, you know, I can do it for long stretches of time without getting bored. What do I do that doesn't seem like work? I could do it all day long and not be bored. Okay? In my work, what produces the highest ratio of satisfaction to the amount of time spent? Even if you only do it for a few seconds, okay, or a few minutes, you know, you feel a lot more rewarded because there's some idea of connection that comes forth. What are your unique abilities? You know, do you have special skills, or do you? And here's the part that you should know, that the gifts and special skills that we have, we really don't realize that we have them because they come so easily to us. So we tend to think, you know, well, everybody can do this. So it's not. So it's worth saying to somebody, why do you like working with me? What do you think that I do better than anybody else, to take a look at that, right? So the other day I said to one of my clients, I'm just really amazed at how well she develops a circle of influence and all the people that she knows and, you know, how successful she is at networking and listening. And she said, but you do that. And I said, no, I do that kind of one-on-one. Once I actually know you, I can do that, but I can't go into a room of strangers and do that. Now, I mean, I can do it, but I don't do it well. That's not one of my gifts. And so what I've realized in the last 2 years is it's better for me to work with people like her than to try to recreate that myself, because I don't do it well. So the real question is, you're trying to leap into geniuses. Where are you spending your time and effort? You know, have you been frustrated by your inability to follow through and to execute things, even when you feel like you're committed to doing? And, you know, you can have the best dreams and plans and stuff, but if you don't execute, if you don't make good decisions and make things happen, then you're not going to, you know, there's not going to be any change. So how do you get good at this? How do you focus at it? Okay. And I think part of that is to always do more than you have the time or resources to do. I mean, to really strive to do as much as you possibly can in the time and stuff that you have, because, you know, you want to go for the biggest impact activities that you can do that'll get you to your dead reckoning faster. And everything counts. And years ago, I used to work for a retail company, and they used to say, if the sign in the window is crooked, then there's something wrong inside as well. And my thought was at the time, you know, originally my thought was, I've just, you know, spent all this time making sure everybody's trained and everything's right, and you're going to, you know, drag me over the coals because the sign is crooked, right? But in the long run, I started to realize that was true, because it meant that somebody was paying attention to details. Regardless what zone you're in, if you're trying to change, it brings us to the element of time management. And so I'm going to go at this just a little bit different. I'm going to go into managing your energy, managing your activities, and then managing your time. Because I think it's really important that you manage your activities. So what you want to do is you want to be aware of when you are high energy and when you are low energy. Do you work, you know, are you high energy in the morning and low energy in the afternoon, or are you just the opposite, right? So you want to learn how to sync to your natural rhythm. You know, if you work with your natural rhythm, then you're concentrating when your energy is high and resting when your energy is low. So an example is, I'm more creative in the morning, Okay, so I try to do all, you know, when I have to write articles or write curriculum or do something like that, brainstorm, I try to do that in the morning. And then in the afternoon, when my energy is lower, that's when I return phone calls, that's when I look at my email, that's when I do things that I can kind of do on rote and kind of just knock them off. It doesn't require necessarily 100% of my brain power, okay? If you continue to push yourself to work, okay, when your energy is low, you probably are not going to get the results. You're going to have low performance, and you're going to be dissatisfied, and you're going to be grumpy, okay? So sometimes it's just better to walk away and do something else. So, you know, take a look at some of the things that you can do is, you know, get rid of energy drainers. You know, it could be a person or it could be a task. If there's somebody that drains your energy, you know, like, for instance, there are family members that I really prefer to talk to in the afternoon than in the morning because they just get me so off target, okay? You might want to do something such as that's going to give you that's holistic in terms of exercise. I mean, exercise is good, but you might want to do some Tai Chi or something like that. That's also going to help you to be able to center yourself, right? Figure out what makes you happy. If there's something that you like to do, it could be little things. Like one of the things that I realized is I really liked to laugh. And so for a long time, I would take Jay Leno, but I would watch him at night. I would just watch his monologue in the morning because it always started me off with a laugh. And then he went off TV. And so I had to find a humor site on the internet so I could always have a little laugh. You know, and now I have other things that I do. But to me, that's important. It's like having a laugh sometime in the morning, to me, puts me in the right frame of mind. And the same thing is true is, you know, in terms of your spiritual side. Do you have time every day to do something that's going to nourish your spirit, whether it's a daily reading, whether it is meditating, whatever, you know, the case may be, okay? But those are the things that you want to take a look at about energy. You want to get up out of your chair and walk around and get your blood pumping and stuff like that so that you're putting your highest energy into the activities that require, that have the biggest payout or impact and require the most concentration. So that's the energy part. Where's your energy when you're working on things? So the next thing is activities, right? Prioritizing your activities. What's important? What's, you know, maintenance? What's just whatever, okay? And I'll just put that really simply, and that is that, you know, the old story about the professor who has the rocks and the pebbles and the sand, and he wants to put them into a container. And, you know, in order to make it all fit, you have to put the rocks in first, then the pebbles, and then the sand. And that's the way you should be doing your projects as well, is that the important, you should start with the important stuff first. Start with the important stuff when your activity and your energy, when your energy level is high. So if you're a high energy level person in the afternoon, that's what you start your afternoon with, okay? You know, ideally, you want to have a situation where maybe you can start your job. It doesn't have to start at 9 o'clock. You could start, like, at 11, which puts you closer to your energy level. I was just the opposite. I used to come in the office really early and tell people, don't talk to me till 10, because I could get more done between 7 and 10 than I could all day long if I didn't get a good start, okay? So prioritize what you're doing. So that you can really put the energy in the things that are going to grow your business or going to make your life better, okay? So that's the energy, and that's the activity. So now we're going to talk about the time and time management. You know, obviously you have the same number of hours as anybody else, the same number of minutes, okay? And so it's important to prioritize and to figure out how to do that, right? So I'm going to give you a couple of tips on that. One is, you know, if you break things down in you know, how to eat an elephant bite by bite, break things down into you know, smaller tasks, you know, and divide and conquer, you can break any big problem down into a smaller piece. The other thing is learning to prioritize. So one of the things that I came up with was called compass planning. So if you write down everything, something, whatever, and nothing, and this is really just to kind of do a brain dump and get it out of your head, okay? So it stands for the four corners of the compass, east, south, west, and north. So east is everything. This is something, you know, you look at this in terms of a time period. So you say, okay, this is today, this is a week from now, this is 4 days, you know, it has to be within a time period. So you say, okay, what do I need to get everything done on? And you don't want it to be like 10 things because you're never going to get it done. So you want to get maybe 3, 4 that everything has got to be done. So that's your E, that's your everything. S is something. Something is something that you've got to move along. You've got to make some progress on it, but it doesn't, you know, it just needs to move along somewhere. So that might be the things that, you know, you need something from somebody, you shoot them an email, right? And then you can't do anything until they shoot it back. But that way it's not being, you don't have to wait till the last minute, but it's not taking up a great deal of your time. Whatever is, you know, something that happens, you're doing something, somebody calls you, let's say. You know, you hadn't planned on working with this, but somebody calls you or somebody sends you something, and so you have an opportunity to maybe move this along a little bit. So that's a whatever. It's not, you know, a high priority, but it's something that has to be done. Things that are in the whatever category or in the, you know, which is west, or N, which is north, those are great things to take a look at delegating, okay, because you hadn't planned on doing a lot with them, especially the N for nothing. It doesn't mean that you're never going to do it, but you're not going to do it within this time frame. So if you've got something in your nothing category, that is a great thing to delegate, because even though you're doing nothing, it's moving along. So hopefully everything that's in the everything category will get cleared out and everything kind of moves up a little bit, right? So those are, in terms of time, those are two things that you can do. You know, do the compass planning and divide and conquer. But in addition to that, you have to set deadlines, okay? You have to have time commitments in which your goals have to be achieved. Okay, how much time are you going to allow something to take? Because your task is going to fill any void that you've got. Something that should take 10 minutes might take an hour and a half. If you let there be interruptions, if you talk to somebody else, if you go out on a tangent, if you don't focus on what you need to do. So it's important to have deadlines. Deadlines create urgency, okay? So if you're committed to doing something, then you say, I'm committed to doing the best job that I can in this time frame, and enforce that accountability, right? And I think that that's a really important thing. I know that there are times when I look at the clock and go, oh, my God, I've spent an hour and a half on this, and it really was only worth like a half an hour, right? Because I got, you know, I followed one link that went to something else that went to something else, and all of a sudden I find myself looking at something else that might have something to do with another project that I might want to do, but is not at all related to where I started. So I think that's really important, to have deadlines so that you use your time wisely, and you put your time, you allocate your time so that you are working on the things in your zone of excellence, in your zone of genius. And the last thing that I'm going to say about time is that, you know, is that you need to focus. You need to get rid of distractions that pull you off course, that take off your time. And this is something that's really hard. I mean, just learning to say no can be incredibly freeing, but while you're going through it, it can really overtake you. Okay? So going back on some of the ideas that we talked about, all right? We talked about, you know, thinking with the end in mind and, you know, making sure that you have your dead reckoning so that you can, you know, stay on course even if you get taken off course. And I think that that's really, really important. And I think it's also important in terms of taking massive action, that you can, you know where you're going, and so you can see where you can go faster. You can see where you have to slow down because you know where you're going, okay? Change. When you're changing from one zone to another, just like any other change, you're going to find that there's some resistance because it's easier to keep doing what you were doing than to do something new. All right, and understand that, you know, that with change comes unexpected consequences, that you have to look at new habits, that your attitude counts, that your needs count, that you have to have goal setting, that you have to have empowerment, okay? And you need those pieces in place so you can move from the ending, you know, making room for things. You can go through the tough times and you can get to the beginning of a new habit or a new way of doing things or a new way of thinking about things, so that you can be successful with that. So, again, consequences, habits, attitude, needs, goal setting, empowerment. The zones are the zones of competence, incompetence, competence, excellence, and genius. So, you know, you've got that, and you've got the three elements of time management. You have to manage your energy in yourself. You have to manage the activities that you're doing, and are you spending time in your zone of genius, okay, which is requires a change. And in terms of your time, you know, where are you putting your time? Are you prioritizing it and having the power of a deadline that will help you get there? And then, you know, Thomas Leonard, who is the father of coaching and also a highly successful financial planner and business entrepreneur, says that time is an illusion. There is no such thing as time management. There's only activity management in the time we're given. How much activity you get done in that allotted time is directly responsible for how energetic you are. So that's the, you know, he tied it all together with the activity, the time, and the energy. And I think that's the difference between when you're in your zone of genius, you can end the day, even if it's a long day, and be energetic. And isn't that a wonderful thing? So what does this mean in terms of an assignment? So the first question I think that you have to ask yourself is, are you interested in excellence or are you committed to upping your game and moving to excellence and then genius? You know, and what can you do right now? What can you do today to make that happen? And the first thing is that you have to be true to yourself. You have to say, you know, you have to believe that you are committed, if you're committed, and what you want to get accomplished. You know, and that takes us back to your definition of success and establishing your dead reckoning. What is your dead reckoning? It could be that you want to be financially secure. Now, financially secure for you could mean something totally different than financially secure for me. And so it's important to really write it down. It's amazing. Only 3% of people actually write their goals down. Right, and those are the 3% that usually get what they're doing, you know, what they set out, because you put it down and you remind yourself and you see it and it helps you to make those decisions. So, for instance, you know, you've heard before about putting a sticker on the mirror, putting a, you know, a note in your wallet, and you open your wallet up to pay for something, especially if it's something that's kind of not in your budget or whatever. And you see that note, right, that says, is this going to help me get my house? It's just a speed bump. It's just something to make you stop and think and say, is this really what I want? And now that I'm saying that, most of us don't pull a whole lot of money out of our wallets. We do something with our credit card. So maybe what you need to do is put a piece of masking tape or something on your credit card that says the same thing. Is using this going to help me get what I want? And whatever trick, you know, I always say speed bumps are there because they work for you. So whatever that speed bump is, whether it's a financial speed bump or whether it is a, you know, a food speed bump. You know, I used to, I am so happy that I am into more like lifestyle adjustment instead of dieting at this point. But when I was really big into, I still had lots and lots of weight, I would put my food in different colored containers. And so the stuff that was kind of off limits or had to really be managed with the amounts, I put them in containers that had red lids on them. And I would put them at the back of the refrigerator. So I'd have to go through all the blue and the green lids to get to the red lids. And it just gave you time to think so that you weren't being impulsive. Okay, that's what a speed bump does. It slows you down enough so that you can say, do I really want to do this? You know, and sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And if you do it, you know, do you know what the consequence of it is, right? So that's one of the things that having a dead reckoning will help you to design speed bumps that work for you, that will help you to get to excellence. The next thing is, where are you spending your time? Okay? If your zone of genius and is something different than your job, I mean, one of the projects I'm working on now is people who have full-time jobs but really want to have their own business in, let's say, massage or one of the healing arts. Where are you spending your time? Yes, you're committed to the 40 hours a week for your full-time job, but the time that you're not there, which is really your time and your prime time, what are you doing with that? Right? Are you, you know, bemoaning the fact that you have no clients, or are you doing things with that time to make sure that you start putting clients in the pipeline, even though when you first start it may require a lot of effort on your part, okay? And then last question is, what changes do you need to make so that your change, your success is going to happen? All right, I think that's an important thing. What's working now, and what do you need to change to make it ideal? All right, so what about your action plan? Okay, I think one of the easy things to do is just to find three ways that you can spend more time in your zone of genius, that you can spend time in your zone of genius at least every day. It doesn't necessarily have to be a big amount of time, but the more that you are in the zone of genius, cumulatively, the more you're going to want to be in the zone of genius, the more you're going to improve because you're in the zone of genius, and the better the outcomes are. All right? And that means that you need to take a different action. And sometimes that can be very scary because, you know, your belief may be new, okay? You may have to take a look at things in a different way, and so it can be take you out of your comfort zone. It could be kind of scary, all right? So it's important for you to say, okay, what can I do differently? How can I take this action that's excellence and take it to the level of genius? You know, are you the kind of person, you know, that says you eat healthy, but then when you go to the grocery store, you know, and we look in your cart, it doesn't reflect that, right? Remember that excellence is a process of continuous growth and improving. So you have to have that feedback loop with yourself so that you can choose the best course of action about what's happening and what's keeping you from that. And lastly, I think it's important to say, what am I going to do to jumpstart my progress? You know, you can have an aha moment, but if you can't figure out how to really integrate it into your life or stabilize it into your actions, you're not going to get the outcomes that, you know, that you want, right? We have these breakthroughs and in our daily life, but what we want to have happen is we want those changes to be permanent, okay? You know, if we have the discipline and the diligence and the patience and the persistence and playfulness to create the structures in our life that enable that breakthrough to integrate and become a new way of being, then we're going to change our, you know, the way that we've developed, okay? And so, like I said, I think it's important to take a look at new ideas. Like for me, it was Stephen Covey. It was William Bridges. It was Gay Hendricks. It was Gary Ryan Blair, and add them to other things that were already in my toolbox of beliefs and systems and things like that, so I could put them together and make them work. You know, every time I hear him say, start fast, finish strong, I'm like, yes, do you know? And I have found myself, because I'm working more in my zone of genius, working a lot harder and more intensely than I have in a really long time. So know that it's going to take some energy to do this, but it is definitely worth what you get out of it. All right. So this is information, okay? And so the question is, how are you going to use what you learned? You know, there's more than one way to move forward. And, you know, I purposely make my show less than 60 minutes so that you can have a good, you know, 10 or 15 minutes that you can come up with a plan, okay? And the question is, how much effort are you willing to put into this? I think sometimes, you know, we sell ourselves short because we go, where am I? Do I really want to do this? And I think that, you know, William Feather says, success seems to be largely a matter of hanging on after others let go. Are you really committed to making it happen? And I have to tell you that since I have started taking a look at this, I have made some huge changes in my business. You know, my first coaching group starts shortly. I'm doing a product that starts in May. I'm starting a mastermind. I'm doing all these things that, you know, maybe I thought I couldn't do. And finding a way to work and to say, what do I want? You know, and part of the change for me was saying, what am I good at? What is my genius? My genius is the content. Okay, and taking other people's works and translating them and putting them together and coming up with something that I think is a lot more dynamic. My genius is not the marketing, okay, or the networking. And so all the things that I'm doing in conjunction with somebody else that is great at marketing. And it's working wonderfully because they have all these ideas about marketing and things like that, and, you know, they don't feel as comfortable about the content. I have the content. And so that's what I would say to you. Find out what your genius is and find out a system that's going to allow you to move forward and make the most. I mean, you've heard people say things like, you know, you want passive income, you want residual income. Developing a product will give you passive income, right? Having a coaching group, you make more money with your time, and sometimes it's really exciting because the interaction of the people also energizes you too. You know, and the group gives itself accountability, which is a really wonderful thing. So, you know, take a look, and this is the last thing I'm going to tell you. Because I thought it was interesting. I heard someone speak the other day about opportunity, that you can't wait for opportunity. You have to make opportunity happen. And to think of opportunity as a triangle. So, for instance, what are you good at? What's a trend that you know? And what's a need that comes out of that so that you triangulate it? And I find myself looking at that model more and more and more when something happens and going, you know, when I would normally maybe say no, this doesn't fit into what I'm doing, I go, well, wait a minute. I've got this. Who needs both of this, right? And coming up with opportunities. So I encourage you to take some time to write out a plan, to really give yourself a tough, a strong dead reckoning and some really good goals to shoot for. That's exactly what my I'm Ecstatic Life Planning Model is about. And the thing is that within the I'm Ecstatic Life Planning Model, you can also do that, break down things in your business as well. So it doesn't have to be all personal. It can be the combination of your business and your personal. So take a few minutes. Take the 10 minutes that you've got. Give yourself a dead reckoning. Give yourself a big goal. Figure out what your genius is so that you can spend your time there. And take massive action and have massive results. I mean, it is so rewarding. It makes you feel so good. Okay. So that you have the time to do that, I just want to say I am so glad you took this time. Ask yourself what you would do differently. What did you learn that's going to help you? We're almost into May, which means the summer's around the corner. Which means we're in the second quarter of the year, so I know that there are some things that you still want to get done. Okay, you want to get bathing suit ready. You want to get more income into your business so that you can go to on vacation. So we want to take your dreams and turn them into goals, your goals into actions, and your actions into specific plans. And let's put your plan into action so you can have what you're looking for. So for I'm Ready For Me, this is Yvonne McCoy saying, remember to be empowered, design your life for ease, and have a formula that works with and for you. Be healthy, wealthy, and alive. I'm ecstatic. And so until our next show, I want you to have as many great days as I'm having. I want you to be, I'm going to be ecstatic, and I hope you will be too. Till next time.